Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Just 6 days after dislocating his kneecap, Patrick Mahomes was back at Chiefs practice. Yes, he was limited, but he was there and he was moving. A much welcome sight after some thought he would be out for a lot longer. And here's the part that has Chiefs fans giddy. He has not been ruled out for Sunday night's game against the Packers. Nick, we'll start with you with this one. Would the Chiefs be making a mistake, a big mistake, rushing Mahomes back too soon?
Yeah, absolutely. And I consider this Chief fan right here not giddy with any idea that he could play. Now, if they want to make the Packers prepare for the possibility he's going to be on the field, because obviously it's a very different defensive game plan if you're playing Matt Moore than if you're playing Patrick Mahomes, and they want to add that to the one of the only advantages they have this weekend, the misdirection, fine. But there is no chance whatsoever, no way whatsoever, they should put Patrick Mahomes out there Sunday night. I don't think there's any way whatsoever they should put him out there the following Sunday against Minnesota. Now, am I willing over the next 2 weeks as he practices, soften my stance that he should be out all the way until the bye? Sure. I think it's somewhat unbelievable that a week ago today, this evening, a week ago this evening, he was having his kneecap relocated, reduced back into place on the field, and that yesterday he was on the practice field. It's a testament to the Chiefs training staff, it's a testament to being a young guy and his body healing quicker and no damage, real damage being done. But he can't play Sunday, Chris. Under no circumstances can you put Patrick Mahomes on the field against that Green Bay pass rush with the Chiefs beat up offensive line with his ankle still injured. It'd be 10 days after the kneecap dislocation.
Nick, I totally agree with you. If he's a normal guy, if he's Nick Wright or someone else trying to go about their business, I totally agree with you. But this is what the greatest football players ever played this game. This is what they have done. The reason why the league is what it is in this brutal sport, guys have played through being injured and chancing their career. That's what the league is made on. So without the guarantees, the mentality of football players, yeah, there's pro baseball, there's pro basketball, there's hockey, but man, there's nothing like being a pro football player. You only got 16 dates, and the players don't want to miss. And that's the reason why I like not having fully guaranteed contracts, because when you don't have fully guaranteed contracts, it forces you to go beyond what you typically would do. If Patty Mahomes had $150 million guaranteed, I'm telling you, he would think about not playing. But it's still the football mentality. Brett Favre, the guy who he's compared with more than any other quarterback. What do you respect most about Brett Favre?
Never, ever missed.
Never, ever missed. And I'm going to tell you something. There were a lot of Wednesdays. There were a lot of Fridays where he was going to be out. He was going to be doubtful. There were two times in my career. Once when I had a high ankle sprain, I decided to go against the doctor and go and play. Did it set me back? A couple years later, I did have to have a surgery. My shoulder, the same ring, came back from a broken collarbone in 4 weeks. The following year, had to have surgery when I separated my AC joint. Does it still give me problems to this day? Absolutely. Was it worth it, both of those occasions? Yes. I don't have the same amount of movement in my right ankle that I have in my left, but was it worth it? Absolutely. My shoulder right now, I feel like 5 out of 7 days a week, I feel like I have a pinched nerve on my right side. Why? Because I rush myself back onto the field. But that was kind of the thing that I was known for. My overall durability, not only just my talent, but my availability, because I do believe that's a skill. And it's going to be hard to keep Patty Mahomes. Just as you were shocked that he was at practice yesterday, I'll be shocked if he's not under center on Sunday, especially after participating in a Wednesday practice that you don't have to. He could have easily sat out Wednesday, Thursday, said, I'm going to test drive it on Friday, which is the normal routine. For him to be out there on Wednesday lets you know he is going to be. Ain't no decoys on Wednesday.
So you think he's going to play?
I know he is.
That's shocking to me. That's shocking. I'm not. I'm not saying you're wrong. We can't know until Sunday. But you and I didn't.
Let's do Amari Cooper last week. Last week, Amari Cooper didn't practice Wednesday, didn't practice Thursday. The team said, listen, if you're going to play on Sunday, you must practice on Friday. And then they worked him out before the game. Patty Mahomes is already on the practice field on Wednesday when the coaching staff and the training staff is saying, if he had any discomfort, let's just wait 24 hours, Patty. Like, we're not in no rush. Let's wait 48 hours till Friday. So for me, I'd totally be shocked. Patty Mahomes is going to play against the Green Bay Packers.
Well, for a guy as important to an organization and a franchise as Patrick Mahomes, if you're the team, wouldn't you want to err on the side of caution? Even if Patrick Mahomes says, I want to play, I'm ready, I feel good. If you're Andy Reid,
how do you know he's not?
Success. Because he dislocated his knee.
How do you know he's not? He's going to go to practice. He's going to throw the ball. How's the team going to hold him out if he can throw the ball?
His mobility.
He's not going to have full mobility
so
this
what?
Sunday.
Of course not.
Part
of Patty Mahomes' greatness is not that he's mobile.
Part of his greatness is that he's mobile. The entirety of his greatness is not that he's mobile. He would be great just sitting in the pocket. Agreed on that. But you made a very interesting point earlier, which is part of the story of this game is guys playing through injury. But unfortunately, another part of the story of this game is the untold story of players whose careers were cut short because of this exact reason. We all talk about RG3 and the play when Haloti Ngata blew out his knee. He was already hurt in that football game. If you watch that game, and I know you remember it, it was a playoff game, and there was speculation, should he be out there? Now, maybe RG3 was a fait accompli. Maybe at some point his body wasn't built for this game. I don't know. But I do know that there is a possibility that there is a whole RG3 story we never got to see because it was a playoff game. Because it was such a vital, critical
ultimately
moment.
Nick, though, it's not about the fans. It's not about Andy Reid. It's not about that doctor. This is Patty Mahomes' career. That's his body. That's his knee. It's his decision to make. All right? Yeah, you guys will participate in it, but it's my decision to make if I'm going to play. He's going to be cleared by the doctors to be able to play if he can tolerate. It's called pain threshold. How much can you take? And the best players ever played this game, their pain threshold was really, really high. The best quarterbacks ever played this game, and we don't see it a lot more because you don't have to be tough to play this game. But the best guys that ever been under center, that have played in the NFL, have been tough. I wouldn't be surprised at all that Patty Mahomes was to play. And the decision, it should be his. It shouldn't be a doctor's because greatness, we don't know. And what if you stop him from doing something? Like, the doctor doesn't actually know if you can make it through this little phase. That's why it's called a doctor-patient relationship.
Well, let me ask you real quick on this, because you said it's Patrick Mahomes' decision. Do you not feel there is, let's take the fans out of it, an organizational responsibility at some times to protect a player from himself?
Yeah, at some point, yes. But also, Nick, but this is my career. All right, you're going to sign a lot. If you're the general manager, you're going to have a lot of more players. My career is going to be directed by me. I will make the best decision for me and for my family. And just because you guys are a little antsy or something about the pain and everything, that's why he's a football player.
So this decision will just be Patrick Mahomes?
No, you get cleared first.
I'm sure. But ultimately,
Andy Reid's going to look at him and say, Patty, can you do it? And then there's going to be a trust factor. All right, that's the big thing in sports. Do we trust them? Last year, they trusted Kevin Durant. All right, he ended up getting injured. But that's all part of it, man. That's what you sign up for. There ain't no rose-colored man like, oh, this is all going to just work out. Patty Mahomes is going to be MVP again. No, they're called hurdles. They're called obstacles. And it's what forces people to be great. And that's what I'm hoping Patty Mahomes plays, because that's what I grew up watching. When Roger Staubach was playing for the Cowboys, that's what I was watching. Dan Marino got knocked down. That's what I was watching. Brett Favre, every single week. Peyton Manning, the greatest ever played. They were the toughest. And I believe Patty Mahomes, he wants to be in that class.
Move on to the undefeated and the undeterred New England Patriots team. A team led by an incredible defense on one side and by, well, Tom Brady on the other. Brady is playing in his 20th season. Over the past few years, we know this, he has quite emphatically shut down any rumors of walking away from the game. But yesterday, during an interview on WEEI, the 42-year-old was singing a slightly different tune as he enters the final year of his deal. Take a listen to this.
I don't know. And I think that's been a unique situation that, you know, I've been in, because I think when you commit to a team, you know, for a certain amount of years, you kind of feel like your responsibility is to always fulfill the contract. And, you know, for me, it's been good because I'm just taking it day by day and I'm enjoying what I have. And I don't know what the future holds. And the great part is, you know, for me, football at this point is all borrowed time. I mean, I never expected to play 20 years, and I'm playing on a great team, and, you know, it's just been an incredible 20 years of my life.
I'm going to play till I'm 45. I think I'm going to take it day by day. 45, day by day. Seems like there's a bit of his own little personal conflict there. What do you make of what Tom Brady had to say?
No, there's no conflict. Tom Brady wants to play till he's 45. His wife doesn't want him playing till he's 45. And Bill Belichick will not give him an answer. Bill Belichick has told him, you working day to day. You're working check to check.
That's the key.
And that's the reason why. Because Tom Brady right now, if him and Robert Kraft could work it out, they would sign a 3-year extension, about $30 million a year. He wouldn't be the highest paid, but he'd be up there just for ego purposes.
So why not just say, you know what, I haven't wavered. I've always said I wanted to play till I'm 45.
The reason why is because it doesn't help New England. It doesn't help them win this week. It's not the New England way. It would be everything going against Bill Belichick. Because as soon as he said that, the word would get to Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick would have a conversation with them. What are you doing now? You think you know what's best for the organization? You've been trusting me for 20 years. Now you're not going to trust me? So even as good as his relationship is with Kraft, Kraft can't even give Tom Brady a contract extension, because then he would be reneging on what he told Belichick. And that's, you control the roster. You make all these decisions. I'll have my input in everything, but ultimately it's up to Bill there in New England. And that's why Tom Brady, that's why he's the best example. That's why he's a great captain there, because he is toeing the line just like everyone else. The street free agent, Jacoby, the wide receiver.
Jacoby Myers.
Yes, him and Tom Brady in the same boat. And I know it's hard for people to believe, but that's the system that Bill Belichick, and when it works at its absolute best, that is the theme. The man at the top of the totem pole and the man barely in the door feel the same way. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow because of that guy.
That totem pole isn't like this. It's horizontal. That there might be an order of seniority or order of accomplishment, but there's no totem.
Right.
Exactly. There's one guy at the top. It's Belichick. And then he's got 53 pawns. And one of the pawns happens to be the GOAT, but don't matter. The most important thing Tom Brady said in that, because Tom Brady's very careful with what he says. He does these interviews. He's done this weekly interview on EEI forever. So very often he says nothing, but sometimes he says something, and you have to listen very carefully to what he said. The most important word in there was contract. He said, you fulfill your contract. And he knows he does not have a contract past this season. And so, to Chris's point, if he said, of course, I'd love to have a contract till I'm 45, then the question is, well, why don't you? If you'd love it, we know we have every reason to believe you're not holding out for the most money possible.
You've more than earned it.
You've earned it. You guys have been to 3 straight Super Bowls. A couple years ago, you won the damn league MVP. Like, you in the last game where you had to be a high-powered offense, you went toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes and won on the road. So why don't you have a contract? And the answer is because Belichick won't give him one. So will Brady be able to make it to 45? I don't know. Last year was statistically the worst year he's had in a decade, and this year, statistically, he's worse. He's still the greatest 42-year-old quarterback we've ever seen, but right now that quarterback rating has him sandwiched between Gardner Minshew and Case Keenum. Right now there's a team being carried by their defense that has not put a lot of weapons or protection around Tom Brady. But Bill Belichick, Belichick wouldn't give him a 1-year extension. 1 year, much less the 3 years he would need to make it to 45.
If you were Bill Belichick, would you want Tom Brady to be your quarterback for the next 3 years?
No. No. And that's obvious. That's obvious to him. Tom better not get injured. And the last 2 years, Bill Belichick told him how he felt about him. Last year he gave him more bonus money.
But not
he
real
didn't
money.
Get it.
Yep.
He didn't get those bonuses. He didn't get those incentives. And this year they changed up his contract. They changed the dollar amount. They didn't change the length. So he came to him and asked him, and he told him no. So that's what Tom Brady's telling us in the interview. We can say whatever we want about Tom Brady. Man, this is what Bill Belichick, he is the reason. And you can talk about, oh, man, him and Mr. Kraft. Okay. All right. If Bill Belichick is running that thing in New England, and that interview right there was enough evidence to be able to seal the deal.
If Tom Brady makes it to 45, which is almost impossible to think about, but he's 3 years away, I think the only way he makes it 45 is with a different team. I don't think Bill Belichick is signing up for Tom Brady, age 45-year-old season, unless all of a sudden. Now, by the way, he was showing about 9 years ago, he was showing a slow deterioration. And then
I don't think we're going to see the third iteration of Tom Brady.
I don't think so either. I think that would be, no matter how
physically,
much.
Physically, I think that would be near impossible.
Let's not forget, Bill Belichick got that defense the same way that when he inherited Tom Brady. He can win a couple Super Bowls with anybody back there with that type of defense that they're playing.
We are back now on First Things First with Super Bowl champ Greg Jennings.
What
good
up, man?
Morning,
what's
Greg.
What's happening? Good morning,
see.
Jenna.
Everything good?
Everything's
what's
great.
What's up, C?
Welcome back. Welcome back, Matt. Nice blue suit.
Thank you. You too.
Nice blue suit.
Yeah. All right, Greg, it's been the season of. I thought you had something really important to say.
Nice blue,
I opened
a compliment.
It up. No, it was, clearly.
Gee,
hey,
it's Obama
been
blue.
The season of backup quarterbacks this year. In Carolina, the outlook was bleak when Cam Newton went out with a Lisfranc injury that has kept him out since week two. Kyle Allen stepped up, and has gone undefeated starting in Cam's place, and that has led to speculation that Cam could get moved. A new report says that teams are, quote, highly interested in trading for Cam Newton. All right, Greg, with everything we know about Cam.
Uh-oh.
That's my follow-up question. Could he help a contender this season? Could you see him going to another team to help them out?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I could see him going to another team and helping them out. This game this week is obviously a big week for the Panthers with them playing the 49ers to see what Kyle Allen really is against a really good defense.
The first real tough opponent Absolutely. That Kyle Allen's going to face.
He looks good, and
he
probably stays starting at quarterback. And if he doesn't, then there's going to be some escalated trade talks about Cam Newton. If there were a team that I would say I would be on the phone yesterday, the Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago Bears. If you insert Cam Newton right now with that Chicago Bears offensive roster, with their defense the way it is, that team is a Super Bowl contender right away. Right away. The curve that we've seen Mitchell Trubisky on as far as the progression is offensively, it's been minimal.
It's maybe even been a regression.
It really has.
It's been the opposite.
It really has. And so if you insert somebody like Cam Newton, you already start ahead of where you are with Mitchell Trubisky today.
Before you jump to where he could play, do you think Kyle Allen could be the starting quarterback here? You don't think this is still Cam's team?
Well, listen, there is a spot for Cam that makes perfect sense. A team that has suffered a quarterback injury, whose defense is playing like a top five defense, who's won a bunch of games in a row because of the defense, even though the backup quarterback's played admirably. That spot's Carolina. I mean, that if Cam Newton were not on Carolina, and Carolina was like, well, the defense has been great. We have a near league MVP caliber running back. We've got a backup quarterback who we think has a very defined ceiling, even though he's playing well. That's the type of team that would want to bring in Cam Newton. So if I were the Panthers, I think it would be a grave mistake to move off Cam Newton when he has an opportunity to be the quarterback for the best defense that he has had in 4 or 5 years. If you look at the defensive stats across football, the Patriots, the Niners, and the Panthers are top three in different. Well, the Patriots are number one in basically everything.
Right.
And then the Panthers and the Niners battle back and forth for 2 and 3. So I don't think the Panthers should do it. If they were to do it, I don't know a person in the world that disagrees with Greg that Chicago's the team that you say is a quarterback away from potentially making noise in the NFC.
Yeah, I don't think it has to be a contender, though. When you're talking about someone like Cam Newton, you have to, will he have another chance to be a franchise quarterback? Now, as far as Kyle Allen, even though he might be the starting quarterback, Jenna, Cam Newton is the face of the Carolina Panthers. You can see it in the practices. You can see the way he does his interviews and everything. Now, you might have some younger player who's taking your spot. But Cam, the mark he's put on that region down there, that won't change. And Kyle Allen is not the quarterback of the future there. He might be starting out, but if they decide to move off of Cam, they're still looking for a quarterback.
So what am I missing? Why would they? Why is this a conversation of moving off of Cam? It's not a conversation in New Orleans. Well,
it was going to be a conversation before the season started based on Cam's lack of consistency,
yes.
Based on his injury history, based on they do have a new owner, and next year it'll be the first time they can get off of Cam at a reasonable price. So we were going to be having these conversations, and then he gets a different type of injury. So now we don't know how to evaluate this new throwing motion that he's tried to change the last couple years. We saw last year at the beginning of the season, his throwing motion did improve. His accuracy did improve. But he's been hurt since then. So we can't even really assess his ability fairly. We're viewing it on the past Cam that has been inconsistent. I believe he's more than good enough to be a franchise quarterback, and not only Chicago, Cincinnati, Miami, Tennessee, and the Chargers, although they need a quarterback for their future. And that's just the start.
I agree with everything that you're saying, and I'll add to that the reason why we're even talking about it is because when you have suffered the injuries that Cam has, and then a quarterback comes in and he wins with the team that you've been kind of inconsistent with as far as wins and losses, it's going to create question. That's, you look at the New Orleans Saints, there is no doubt that we all know who that guy is in Drew Brees. He's a guy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's question, well, should Drew Brees play? Should he not? When should he come back? Because of the impressive play of the backup quarterback. This is what happens when you have good backup quarterbacks that can insert and come in and win games for you.
Yeah, but you just said he's not a great backup quarterback. He's just an okay backup quarterback. Does Carolina look at Kyle Allen like the future?
This is what we don't know. He's not a high draft pick. All right, that doesn't mean he can't be good. We've had a few quarterbacks have ascended from nowhere. He doesn't have the arm talent of guys that we think. We don't think he can throw the ball down the field, drive it through the wind. He's not an elite athlete. So we're not saying he's a young quarterback. For us to say he's a bad, he's a young quarterback.
And what he has done, to his credit, is not make the killer mistake. He's throwing no picks. When you've got a great defense and the best running back in the NFL, the quarterback's job can be, if you are limited from a talent perspective, don't kill us.
Right.
And Cam, while he was injured, was killing him. Like, Cam, while he was injured, was not able to do what Kyle Allen's been able to do. I just want to say one other team, because you mentioned them on your list of teams. And they're a team that I think it could make sense for right now and for the future. And that's Tennessee.
Yes.
Tennessee is a... The leader in that division's got 4 wins. They got 3. Like, Tennessee, we know the style of football Vrabel wants to play. We know the quality of the running game, the quality of their defense. And we know Mariota is done. And they can't be like, we feel great about Ryan Tannehill moving forward. And so if he were to be moved this season for a team that says, we want to try to make the most out of this season and the future, Tennessee is the team. Everyone's going to say Chicago, and I agree with you. Chicago should be the number one team. Tennessee is one to keep an eye out for as well.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
On to the Saints now. They have gone undefeated while their future Hall of Fame quarterback, Drew Brees, has been out with that thumb injury. Just don't tell Michael Jordan, you know, because Brees is now back at practice and is itching to get back on the field.
Yeah, don't be saying that with his name. No.
It's true.
Yeah.
Do that. When asked about playing Sunday against the Cardinals, he said, quote, "That's the plan." Here's what Brees had to say about gripping the football with that injured thumb.
Like, if you grip a baseball, right, you're here, right? Even you grip a basketball, you're just kind of dribbling. Maybe you're going to palm it every now and then, but to shoot, you know, it's really on your fingertips. Football is the one where you really have to extend your thumb all the way around into you know, a pretty large angle. I mean, look at the spread between pinky and thumb. You know, that's hard to do, and then to provide the type of pressure that's needed with that thumb to then transfer all that energy that you bring from ground force and torque with your body to translate that energy into the ball, right? And so that was probably the hardest part, was just getting it to where I could grip the ball again and grip it with authority, you know, grip it with strength, and then be able to, you know, guide the ball, maneuver the ball out of my hand.
They couldn't find one football in the locker room that didn't have a price tag on it? I mean, honestly. All right, see, I mean, $49.99, use that one. What did you make of what
I'm going to pull up a chair here. I want to see this.
Well, That was amazing because I would say of the great quarterbacks that we've ever had play the game, there hadn't been one more technical. Drew Brees at slightly under 6 foot, not 200 pounds, not a tremendous athlete, but how does he generate all those throwing yards, all that power throwing the ball? It's everything. He is so wired into his feet being connected to the ground, to his legs, to his torso, to his shoulder. But ultimately, he knows with this football, the NFL football, the largest in circumference, the longest without the stripes on it, and now you can't doctor up the ball. So his ability to be able to grip it with his thumb and control it, it's a lot easier when you're playing indoors, but once they go out into the elements and everything, so when you break that bone right there, man, I'm shocked that he's able to come back as fast as he is. It's a common injury to quarterbacks. They throw a lot and hit it on someone's helmet, a lot on their own offensive lineman helmets, but to see him explain it, to me, it was in the same category of last year when we had Kevin Durant. And he was talking about playing offensive basketball. Drew Brees, I'm telling you, the most technical. Him, Tom Brady, the rest of these guys. Marino, Elway, Rodgers, Favre, gifted. My man Brady and Drew Brees, very, very technical. And I just thought that was a gem. Him explaining to us what the thumb totally means in the overall throwing and of flight in the football.
I've heard you talk about Dan Marino. I think it's the case with Aaron Rodgers as well, maybe Patrick Mahomes, that they can throw the ball without the laces.
Yes.
That they can grip it from anywhere. If it's in the shotgun, they don't have to readjust it.
Yep.
For Brady and Brees.
Either size of hand and strength of hand. All right. Typically, we teach kids when they throw the football, we want them to grab the laces because it helps them out.
So with Brady and Brees, or let's just Brees specifically, because of his size and because you're talking about here, he needs to, everything there has to be just right for him to be the player he wants to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he's relying on all of it to be able to vary the throws that he wants to. And that's why he can drive the ball with anticipation because he knows that his lower half is connected to his core and his core is connected to his shoulder. But ultimately, he knows that if I can't control the ball, I'm not going to be able to create enough power to build a play.
Just quickly, I apologize, Jenna, when you said the lower half, one of the things that I took from that was a lot of that was, to be honest, probably over my and a lot of the audience's head. But when he said the ground force, that he is someone who he told you last year, man, I work it hard, as hard at this as anybody.
Yes.
I just don't talk about it as much as certain
people. I'm in as good a shape.
In as good a shape. And he is, it's when you say ground force, that's not something he pulled out of nowhere. That's working with not only a quarterback's coach, but maybe someone that's into biomechanics to teach him how you generate this type of power.
Mm-hmm.
How this, it was, I was listening, watching the World Series last night. It reminded me of what John Smoltz said, because the Astros brought out a pitcher who had hurt his knee. And he talked about how as a pitcher.
Very similar.
Like your ankle really matters on your front foot or your back foot, your knee. And it was hearing someone explain the full mechanics of what goes into throwing the football. If you can't just flick it easily the way Marino or Favre or Rodgers can.
So if he is going to play this week and if he is going to be successful, how close to 100% do you think he'll have to be if he does, again, want to be successful and be able to grip at full strength?
Yeah, I definitely think he's between 90% and 100% because with that thumb, the way it supports the ball and the way they're going to throw it, like, he can't. This is not an injury, a high ankle sprain. We saw Tyron Smith last week come back after a couple weeks with Dallas at left tackle. You can hide it there. You can tape it up. You can do preventative things. I can bring another tight end over there to build a camouflage so that people won't know. At quarterback with an injured thumb on your throwing hand, there's no way we can hide it. Now, I'll watch the game plan, and I'll see how the game plans out. And if they're not flighting the ball more than 25 yards down, that's the adjustment that Sean Payton and the staff have made, saying Drew can play, but he's not up to the point where we have the full complement of what Drew Brees and typically he can do with his throwing talent.
And if we see him this weekend, because of how Teddy's played, because they're 5-0, because the Saints offense is coming off their best game of the year, dropping 36 on Chicago, we will know it's because he's totally ready.
Ready,
not it's not a situation where it's like, man, we've gone 2-3. If we go 2-4 mm-hmm. without Drew.
We need him. We got to rush him back.
You remember a couple years ago when Rodgers had the broken collarbone, you didn't know when he would come back. back. Shockingly, he came back from the collarbone the week they started approaching, well, if we lose another game, our season's over.
Right. Yeah, like, rushed him back.
Rushed him back a bit. We know he's not being rushed back, especially they're against Arizona, and then they have a bye. I think they believe they can beat Arizona without him, and then he'd have an extra week. So if he's out there, it's because they are fully confident he's ready to go.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.